come round?
Can we have takeaway?
Your makeup.
We need speakers.
Pastas.
He's broken it.
She's crying.
Where's the football?
Can we watch cartoons?
Need a crowd pleaser?
Let's watch something with planets.
A musical.
Cartoons.
The match.
New EETV lets you search live and on demand all in one place. Search EETV.
EETV requires EE broadband. Content may vary. Terms apply.
Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jason.
I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Hope you guys are doing well. I think I have problems, guys. I really do. Once somebody passes away who's a comic, like my first inclination is to make jokes, especially if they're like a friend or like a friendly, like, which, by the way, if I die and you make jokes about me, go right ahead. Okay. So if I pass away, I will not get upset if anyone makes
jokes. We should try to come up with some now. Actually, yeah, can you write some jokes for
here
us?
Here he lies. Finally in peace. His neuroticism finally at rest. Something like this? Was that a little bit too Martin Luther King-y for you?
Maybe. That's not really a joke.
I have to wear like the little yarmulke on my head for this thing? Because, bro, yeah. I've been waiting to dust off my yarmulke.
Why do you have a yarmulke?
Oh, I thought it was a cup.
How hard was this yarmulke?
Man, it was tough. Yeah, yesterday at training, somebody got kicked in the balls with no cup, laid on the damn ground for like 3 whole minutes. I put some ice on his balls. He popped back up like Jesus Cristo.
Why did you kick him?
I didn't, bro. It wasn't me, allegedly. The investigation is still ongoing. However, I didn't do it. Anyway, why are you talking about death right now, bro?
So Angel Salazar, who was he was in Scarface, Chi-Chi in Scarface, and he was in Carlito's Way. Here's a guy, when I first started doing comedy 25 years ago, they're like, "Oh, I got you opening for Angel Salazar in Staten Island, but you got to drive him home." All right, okay. I show up. Dude, the guy's got a black eye, and people are throwing bags of cocaine at him. Like, his entire crowd is Colombians and, like, Cubans. And he's murdering. But he had a black eye from passing out, and people are literally throwing bags of cocaine. And then I had to give him a ride back. I think we stopped at like 10 different drug dealers, like in like Harlem.
Oh my God.
And he kept getting out of the car, leaving, and coming back 30 minutes later. I was like 19 years old going, like, what is going on? Like, what the fuck is going on right now, right? Then I don't hear about him. Then I do a gig in Rochester, and they were like, "Oh, we had Angel Salazar last week." I was like, "How did it go?" He goes, "Oh, it didn't go good." He goes, "The first show, he got a standing ovation. They were like, don't let him leave the green room. Whatever you do, keep him in the green room before the second show." So, of course, he leaves, does a ton of cocaine, comes back, and his nose is bleeding. He doesn't even know where he is, right? They're like, "Angel, you're on." He goes on stage, sold-out show in Rochester, New York. Some big chick, a big titty girl in the front row was like, "Angel, you're bleeding." So he goes to wipe his nose on the girl's tit.
Oh, no.
Right? While it's all...
Oh, broken. God.
So her boyfriend gets up and punches him, right? And then the whole crowd runs out screaming and fucking just, you know, pissed off. And then I saw Angel a couple months ago, and I asked him about that. He's like, "Yeah, I got 2 standing ovations that night." Right? So I'm in the big room at this comedy club. He's in like the smaller room. He didn't draw that many people. Not even his fault. Like they just didn't promote it right. Like, they didn't promote Angel Salazar from Scarface to the Cuban community, because it would have fucking been packed. But instead, it was like, anyway, he had no place to stay that night, and he didn't even have a home. He was like in between houses or something. So I let him crash in my hotel room. Dude, we stop off on the home at 7-Eleven. He gets like a 40 ounce and like a bottle of wine. I didn't realize he had sleep apnea. So he's snoring.
Oh, God.
The whole fucking night, like drinking and snoring. I took like three Emmys. I still couldn't sleep. Like that's how loud the snoring was. And then I left him, and that was the last time I saw him. He was like, he wasn't in the best of shape. He was like limping. He was fucked up, man. Like couple months ago.
Now he's dropped dead recently.
He died last week.
What? What? Cocaine heart attack?
Said he died in his sleep. That's
oh
that's,
yeah.
You know, so
he finally took a nap and then he never woke up from it. That's like one of those things, like you know, like a Bert Kreischer kind of thing, where if you're famous for being all fucked up, then it's like weird thing that you got to keep doing, right? So it's like part of the show to do for the angel to do a bunch of cocaine and act all crazy. So then now he's like trapped in what do you call that, purgatory? We're just constantly stuck in this cycle of getting high and trying to be funny. And then, man, what a nightmare.
It was the saddest shit. They canceled both of the shows due to lack of thing. He didn't have anybody. He didn't have a hotel. I asked a guy. He stayed with the audience member the first night. And they were like, hey, if he needs a place to stay, have him text me. Because I'm not going to leave him out there. And, of course, he texted me.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, just so you know, he might start wandering around the hotel in the middle of the night and just wandering off and you'll find him. And I'm like, fucking,
on drugs or was he in dementia?
Probably a combination, but he was still funny as shit. Like my buddy, I met a med called me and I FaceTime and a med was so excited because Angel to comics is still a legend. Like he had that headshot where he had like the big boom box and he had like the fucking Jerry curl and it was Angel. He was in Punchline, Carlito's Way, you know, Scarface, Chi-Chi Scarface. And he's funny as shit. So Ahmed's talking to him about this project. And I love Ahmed. He's one of my best friends in the world, but he could talk. He could talk, right?
He's great.
So then, in the morning, I wake up and Angel's in the other bed. And he goes, is Muhammad still talking? He called him Muhammad, but yeah, rest in peace, Angel, man. It just also kind of sucks though, Jason, because now like everybody like, oh, Angel Salazar, you were a legend and you were this and like,
yeah, you nobody gave him a damn hotel room or drove his ass to rehab or gave a shit when he wasn't selling tickets. Yeah, it's a rough life, you know. It just is a wake-up call and a check to people who have substance abuse problems because, dude, drugs are awesome. They're so awesome that you will ruin your entire life for drugs. Yeah. Like, as long as you're high, you'll feel like everything's fine. And that's a strange thing that happens with something about your dopamine receptors and whatever. You just forget about the rest of life that is very enjoyable. You can get up into that. And it's scary. It's really scary. And I don't know, for some people they can like, you know, I went through it where I just had to get away from all that kind of craziness for just a few months and not be tortured, not be like where in a jailhouse setting where you're like constantly tortured and there's like drug monsters in there. So it's like a weird combination where you're constantly feeling triggered the whole time. So as soon as you get out, you want to go and get high or get drunk or whatever your choice is, you know, instead to have like a safe place to like calmly work on yourself. For me, like completely took it to the next level where I went, oh, I can have happiness without getting high. Like, I don't know. Some people never break out of that. And it sounds like to me that this guy was kind of privileged to where everybody would throw a bag of cocaine at him all the time. So if you always have the supply, it's kind of hard to like quit, you know. Get angry about it. You got to get angry at it. And it sounds like he never got angry enough at the substance to give it up.
There was a kid that was the biggest fan of this podcast named Van. He came to every single show we had during COVID, every Zoom show. Every week he would come to the dime. He'd be like one of four people in the crowd. He would record everyone's sets, and said it to him. He was the nicest guy. He had a good job, came to my show in Oakland. All of a sudden, they're like, I get a text, Van died. I go,
oh, Jesus.
How did he die? Him and his brother were doing cocaine one night. And you would never mistake it. Like, you never be like, oh, this guy's a drug addict. I mean, he just had his shit together. Cocaine had fentanyl, both dropped dead.
Oh, God.
Like a couple months ago. And, you know, first of all, his parents. I mean, imagine both your sons. Like,
fuck shit.
Yeah. So,
Was that like the first time they ever did coke? And they're like, hey, let me give it a try. And then it was laced with fentanyl.
I know he did mushrooms one time at a show. I came out with this girl on mushrooms, but he was not one of these guys that like, that guy's a meth head, or that guy's a coke head. You would be like, oh, this dude's an accountant, or this guy's got a board. He was just a nice guy, sweet guy, great to make fun of. Like, just like, I'd always tell him, I go, Van, man, you always catch me when I'm coming in and out of the show. I want to let you know, I don't tell you how much I appreciate you enough. Like, he's one of those guys that you take for granted that they're so nice. You know, it was kind of like that. Yeah. Sam is like that guy that used to work at the Laugh Factory as the door guy that was like Hawaiian. That was your buddy, John.
John, I just had lunch with him yesterday. Yeah, he's great.
You know, sometimes like such a nice, but sometimes almost seems like an even keel guy that you forget like to tell him that, like, hey, man, I just want to let you know you're a special person.
You know what's funny about that is I hugged him yesterday. I was like, you know what, bro? Like, you know, we don't hang out enough, that kind of thing. Where I was like, man, I really appreciate you. Because it's a good guy like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Bro, they just need to like go back to like legalizing drugs and regulate them. Like back in the day, we could buy like a Coca-Cola with cocaine in it. I mean, yeah, on the surface, that sounds terrible. But if you have regulated drugs that are like at the store where you know exactly what you're getting, then China can't. Buddy with freaking fentanyl, like it's
but where do you stop? I mean, do you crack, heroin? I mean, where
yeah,
do you stop?
No, everything, because if you have to like buy, like if you have to buy it from a store, or if it's like supplied, if you're a drug addict, and it will be cheaper to just buy the drugs and let the people who really want the drugs have them than this entire machinery of like prison and jail and people stealing all the stuff from the stores. Like, that would end. That would end.
On one hand, I agree with you. On the other hand, you talk to parents today that have teenagers, and marijuana and weed in California has made it so unmotivated. And
legalizing drugs is not the solution people want it to be.
Fucked up their minds. I have so many parents. I know so many parents of teenage kids that are like, dude, they're doing weed and edibles at like 10, 12, 13. And they can't, their kids are gone almost.
That seems to me like a more of a cultural thing where like you have to like, now that we have it legal, you have to educate them kids like to really get it in their head that, okay, if you do this, this is the path you go on. You know, I feel like a lot of people have done a disservice of making these powerful substances like just like, oh yeah, just an afterthought. Like, weed is like a serious business, will change your brain like 100%. We all treat it like, oh, it's just some pot. Oh,
yeah, but imagine cocaine and heroin. You got kids that are 15 years old doing that. So,
but what I mean is that, okay, like the people who want to do drugs and get into that culture, if you legalize all of it, not one new person is going to go, oh, well, then cocaine's good for you. I don't think so.
I disagree.
What, you think that everybody will be like,
I think if you make shit legal, people will do everything. Bro, you made shoplifting legal, people just shoplift constantly.
Oh, but what I mean is cocaine is already legal. It's called Adderall, and everybody takes it. That's everybody
takes it. It's a little different than Adderall. It's different.
As somebody who's done both a lot, they're fucking the same. I don't know. I just think that I've seen no difference between cocaine users and Adderall users. It's the same thing. It's just Adderall has an exact dosage. It's legal. You know exactly what you're getting. Cocaine, who knows, might have fentanyl in it because it's by a drug dealer who does it instead of a pharmacist. It's the same, but different.
All right. So, Look, yeah, all I'm saying is I know a couple parents that were like, yeah, my kids started taking edibles at 14, 15. Brain isn't evolved. And now they're either homeschooling the kids are out of control. It's not the same kid they had that they remember back when they were 11, 12. So I worry that if you do that with the other drugs, it's going to have that effect. What?
You think that if cocaine was at Walgreens, then like the kids would start doing cocaine?
Yes, I do.
I think that if it was like a prescribed kind of thing where, okay, this is like, if you want this, you have to go through
medical cocaine.
But they already had it in the 30s. It was like a normal thing.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And now all they did was make these drug cartels super powerful and that give them tons of money. I don't know. Maybe it's not the best solution, but to me, it seems like a better solution than what we're doing. Because all you do now, make it so that the cartels get tons of money for pumping this drugs in here. Then you have unregulated substance on the street. Dudes, nice guys who just want to get high like your friend Van, drops dead because the cartel, you know, or like the local drug dealer had on his table fentanyl, and then he put his cocaine on that same table and scooped it up. Oops, now he killed some people. You know, I don't know. There's no good solution when it comes to drugs, but the reality of the situation is where there's a demand, there's going to be a supply. That's just how capitalism works. So somebody is going to sneak this drugs into the country, and you're just killing guys who don't want to die and don't deserve to die.
I understand there's a problem. I just think that you're I think you're coming at it from like a super I think you're coming from a well-read, well-experienced human being, you, whereas I don't want like a 12-year-old doing a ton of cocaine, getting a gun and going to college. I'm going into a school and start shooting. Like I think you have to
sometimes. Well, wait, what are you talking about? People who are high don't go and shoot people. People who like are super into politics go and shoot people. You need to ban some of your business associates from, you know, like people that's who shoots people, you know. It's a weird thing where if you get super
politicized. Look at Scarface. He snorted a mound of cocaine, starts blowing people up.
All right, let's talk about parenting. All right. So my daughter, by the way, my kid, I used to say, you know, my kid's outsmarting me now. She's always outsmarting me. I used to be like, all right, Violet, you know, brush your teeth. I don't want to, Daddy. Okay. I'm going to count to five. One, two. And she at three, she'd be like, you know, and do it. And now she realizes that I'm going to get to five and nothing's going to happen. Like she realized I had no backup plan. It was just five, right? So now I'm like going to 10. I'm on the letter K. It's just, and then I'm like, I'm Violet. I'm like, if you don't brush your teeth, I'm going to kick you to the moon. You know, like, or something. That sounds fun. I want to go to the moon. Like all her, dude, it's,
what strategy?
I'm making it up as I go along. Right. Dude, then like, yeah. And then, you know, the thing is also as a comic, cause I'm like, how was school today? Yeah. So go to school there. I'll go, Violet, you know, how would you like it if you asked me a question and I went, hey, and then she starts dying laughing, right? So then I get a laugh. And I'm like, oh, I'm killing here. Yeah, bad strategies. How do you deal with it, Bill?
Oh, God. I mean, I spanked my daughter for the first time like a week ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was really traumatic for me. I'd never spanked her before. But she was being a bitch. So I just, and she would like, she was knocking shit over and, you know, and so I spanked her. She looked at me like, is that all you got? Like, really? Is that what you're going to do? But it's still like, it hurt me. I don't think I could ever like physically discipline my child.
So she's like three, right?
I always think bribery is better than blackmail.
So she's three.
If you do this, you get this.
Right. Yeah.
But that's terrible. Cause now she's spoiled as shit.
Jason, your parents spanked you, right?
Dude, my dad kicked me into the fireplace before. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, every once in a while, like, honestly, you know, I didn't really get spanked, but like when I did something real bad, I got I got whooped. I didn't get spanked. I got whooped. Like, it was like a different level than spanking. Spanking was like, by the time I was like six, spanking was like hilarious. Like, I didn't hurt me at all. But, you know, like, if I really messed up, only a few times in my upbringing did I get whooped. Because, man, yeah, that was wrong. So, I don't know. I don't recommend it. I don't know. I think the literature, look, my experience in parenting is dog training, okay? Dog training.
Very similar.
Yeah, it's very similar. And I think the biggest thing is to, like, ignore the kid actively, ignore the puppy actively, because they want to please you. So if you take away the attention, which they love, if you take that away, it's like a very painful thing for them. So I think that could be a strategy. I don't know about this toothbrushing thing. I don't know. You got to figure out some method.
Well, what I do is I try to make it fun. So we play a toothbrush idol, right? Which is where I line up like six toothbrushes and they all have a competition. And the winner in toothbrush gets to brush her teeth, right? So, but the problem is, like, it's like, so she'll be like, Daddy, can we play toothbrush idol, toothbrush idol? I'm like, yes, we can play toothbrush idol, right? But then I have, like, the two Barbie toothbrushes. And I'm like, I'm Barbie. No, I'm Barbie. No, I'm the one, right? And then the other ones start tap dancing. And then one of them starts singing, going, you know, let it go, or whatever, Frozen. And then I put one into the mirror, and one of them, like, does a dive off the other one into this. But then I don't want to, like, be a hack and do the same thing over again. So now every day I have to come up with a fucking new sketch.
Yeah.
You know?
You're, like, writing a full season's worth of SNL sketches for toothbrush time. Oh, what a nightmare. You live there.
Dude, so now I have,
Toothbrush Got Talent, not American Idol.
Dude.
Then they could do, like, contortionism, aerials.
I do. No, it is. No, but now I'm bringing in, like, other of her toys to be like, oh, surprise. And then Elmo shows up, or this one shows up, or like, oh, it's the fairies. Or I'm like, dramatic entrance. And I'll take, like, the toilet bowl roll, and I'll go like this, and they'll just come flying in. You know, it's just, it's one.
Olaf gives the golden buzzer.
Yeah, we have the judges. The judges are like the soap, and then the flosser, and then when they get picked, we like A, B, C. Yem, it's a whole 9 minute.
Developing your daughter to have schizophrenia. Talking to the soap dispenser and the shampoo bottles. Oh my goodness, bro. Well, good for her.
Dude, then but then she's like, Daddy, will you carry me? And, you know, now she's like, at first, no problem. But now she's six. She's, you know, 50 pounds. So I'm like, I can only carry her for, like, we go to, like, Disney. I got to carry the whole fucking, it's like carrying a 50-pound weight the entire day. But I don't want her to think I'm a fucking pussy. So I'm always carrying her. But
wait, time out. She is way too old for having you carry her. What are you talking about? She needs to huff it. You want to go to Disneyland? You want to play with the big boys? You want to play with Goofy, Donald, and freaking Mickey? Well, you better hop two.
Yeah, no, seriously. It's literally Daddy. Yeah. So then, and then I was flying. I flew to Vancouver yesterday, and I'm in Vancouver now. And I go to the, there's a lady in my, it's Flair Airlines, which is like Spirit Airlines of Canada, right? It's the same thing where it's like $9 when you buy it, you get there, it's like $200 for each luggage you check. This is one of those things, right? So there's I paid an extra $25 to sit in the window seat. And then, of course, I get to my thing and there's a lady in my seat. And I'm like, hey, I think I have that seat. And she's like, oh, so she doesn't move. She wants me to go in like the middle. Now I could go in the middle for 4 hours, but I paid for this seat. So I was like, hey, I think this is, and, oh, I didn't know. She knew exactly what she was doing, right? What would you have done, Bill?
I have this weird thing recently where I my phone either overheats, so I missed the beginning of it. But you were on a flight, and a woman had your aisle seat, and and they were
window
supposed
seat
to be the middle seat or something.
And she pretended that she didn't know.
Well, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I've had, you know, the situation I've had, and I did a bit about it, and I was like, oh, I did on stage, and it killed. And then I realized Jim Jeffries has the same bit where when you're in the middle seat, you're entitled to both armrests.
Yeah.
That's the fucking rule.
Yeah.
And this person kept like nudging my arm away. And at the minute I would like go to pick up something, they'd put their arm there like firmly. And I was just like, you're a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
I said to the dude, like, you're a fucking bitch. But it's because when you're in the middle seat, get the armrest. But that woman, she took your seat. You just, you know, what can you do? You can't.
I just lay my arms.
They have no rights.
And then make eye contact for way too long. Like,
wait, what do you do?
Lay my arm on their arm and just gently push it, but just lay it gently. And it works even better if it's the dude. And then you smile like, with this smile. So either way you win, because either he moves his arm or you join the Mile High Club. You know what I'm saying?
Well, luckily I told the lady, I'm like, hey, there's an empty row in front of you. You could get that. And she was all happy. And then other lady on the other side kept offering me Xanax. She's like, oh, you want a Xanax? And I was like, oh. And then she kept offering me more and more pills. I'm like, no, I'm okay. Like,
hilarious. Well, what the hell was her end game? She just wanted to give you a sleepy hand job or something, bro. You were like, you almost won the internet right there. Your wife would have been pissed.
You got to quit flying Frontier Air, Adam.
Dude, then Monday, I do the show at D-Ray's thing, right? You know D-Ray's show? It's like, how do you say it? Like they say chocolate sundaes with like mostly black people, you know, and D-Ray's is utter. So I go do it, and the host, nice, funny guy, but he keeps laughing at all his own jokes. How do you feel about comics that laugh at their own jokes? Like,
weird.
It's...
Man, I don't know. I used to hate it, but now some of my favorite comics, Godfrey does it. He's one of my favorite comics.
He laughs at all his own jokes?
Not well, all.
If it's sincere, if they really are, like, authentically laughing, but the people who do it, like, in a fake way, I fucking hate.
But Godfrey, I think Godfrey is such a good performer that he is faking his laugh, but it sounds authentic. Like, he does the bit really good. He does bits good and then laughs really hard. But, like, I don't know if that – I made him real laugh. I don't know if that's his real laugh. It doesn't matter. The audience buys it, and it's good. Yeah.
Did you ever tell you me and Godfrey got to a brawl with the audience members?
No way.
What?
Yeah, awesome. I was a story. I was
no.
Booking, I was kind of Black Adam Hunter, so it's like a weird double dragon situation, but like player one and player two.
So this is back when I used to book the Westwood Brewing Company, right? Which is like
liberal.
So Godfrey was like, it was all college kids, UCLA kids, and Godfrey was like, man, these guys don't fucking respect comedy, but he would drive there and do it. Like he would, you know, but man, these guys. So he his mom just passed away. Rest in peace, his mom. So he gets up there. And he's doing well. You know, he's such a charismatic guy. And then he's making fun of these like five kids, like frat boys. And he's like, who the fuck would fuck you guys? And then the one kid goes, your mom. And I guess Godfrey just took like a jiu-jitsu class for the first time or something, right? So he puts the microphone in the thing, goes into the crowd and starts strangling this kid, but like pulls guard kind of. Like, but now... There's like, luckily he got the five weakest kids I've ever seen in my entire life because they didn't know what to do, right? But they were all just jumped on him. So I get up and I just start throwing kids off of Godfrey. Like my first instinct is to start cracking kids in the face. And I'm like, I'm running the show. I've been 6 months trying to get this show going. But Godfrey just attacked the guy in the crowd. But so I'm launching kids off. I'm just hurling kids. And Godfrey's got this kid like an anaconda, like fucking squeezing for his life. All tables get thrown. Everything gets crazy.
Oh, shit.
Like, yeah. Then, like, the cops come. The kids get out of there. We told the cops that they attacked Godfrey because he was black, which had nothing to do. And then we kept the show going. We actually kept it. Yeah, it was like, anyway. But anyway, so I do the thing. And first, I'm sitting in the stool, and the guy's like, yo, somebody's like, that's the host spot. Right. Not even like D-Ray, like they had like a pre-host, the guy that was laughing at his jokes. So I get up and I move over, and then Tisha Campbell comes from Martin with her friend. And someone's like, you can't sit there. That's Tisha's spot. Tisha wants to know. Oh, so now I'm like sitting on the floor, you know, and I'm about to go on stage, and I'm like, hey, man, the guy's like, what are your credits? First two comics don't show up. And he introduces them anyway. Right. He's like, oh, we'll just go to the next guy. We'll go to the next guy. This is a packed fucking crowd. Then he's making fun of the comics for bombing. He's like, man, you guys are burning people's confidence. You're looking at them like, you know, just so then he goes, what do you want me to say? So I'm like, all right, say the Upshaws and Gutfeld. He goes, I ain't remembering all that shit. Like, I gave him two things.
It's too much. Two things is too much.
So he goes up there, does like 10 more minutes. He's getting lit left and right. There's a white couple that's not laughing at anything. I'm not sure they speak English. And then he goes to them, man, you ain't laughing at shit, you two. But guess what? Looks at me. You're going to like the next guy. Give it up for this comedian, Adam Hunter. Doesn't even like, no credits at all. I don't know why he even asked me.
Of course, dude.
I went up there. I was fucking mad. Like, it was like, you know how my... I'm not to compare myself to Michael Jordan in any fucking way. I couldn't be Michael Jordan's sneaker, but you know how when Jordan was like,
you're mad and you weren't like, you weren't good. Yeah. Did you get out?
No, I was mad. No, it was good. Cause I was like, when Jordan was like, take that one fucking thing that.
What's up, people? Listen, Major League Baseball is right now. And I've had some of my best memories. Me and my dad going to games. I actually caught a couple balls a couple times. I had a blast. I take my daughter to the game. My wife, we have a great time. And check it out. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which means getting tickets, you can get them faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. It goes down, not up. Now, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, okay, which is great. That way you don't get there and all of a sudden you can't see anything. And their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. So you gotta check out this Game Time app. It is so easy, okay, to navigate, download. I go to all my sporting events. I went to a Sparks game, the one that I took Mayhem and them to. All right, we had a great time. It was like $14 each. It was cheaper than movie tickets, all right? So you gotta check it out. They got last minute deals. You could save up to 60% buying off last minutes for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. You get flash deals. All right. Which means that you could save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or the event. They have all-in pricing and they have ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. And they have lowest price guarantee, which means if it's not the lowest price, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with Game Time. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off first purchase. That's right. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guarantee. Trust me, you will thank me later.
Pissed him off. There was a lot of things here, dude. D-Ray didn't even like me. They were like, man, he was letting you go. And then after my set, he's like, man, fuck Adam, you're one of my top five favorite comics. And he goes, he was just about to be like, I don't know why you're not successful or something. I knew that was coming, so I was like, oh, thanks, man. I interrupted him before he got to the insult. After the compliment.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Why haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. I knew that was coming. So anyway,
I'll explain why you're successful, bud. I think people are threatened by you. So like you're in this weird thing where you like are the funniest guy at some of those shows. So nobody wants to like admit it and like scooch over for you. It's a weird spot that you've dug yourself into. But whatever, dude. You just keep punching. You're going to come up with something.
Hey, listen, I make a good living doing what I love doing. I got a beautiful family and great friends. I'm successful.
Yeah. So I think you're successful as fuck. But like they're saying, oh, why don't you have a fucking like, you know, private jet, you know? Like that's a great standard to be living at where people are confused why you don't have a fucking $10 billion mansion. You know, that's
people
good.
People also don't realize that like, how successful some people are. And that, like there are people out there that if I'm like, hey, you know, Michael Blackson, they're not going to know who Michael Blackson is. Michael Blackson is probably making $100,000 a weekend. D-Ray is probably making 80 to 100. I mean, and then there are people that I'm like, hey, do you know who Jess Hilarious is? Like, you have no idea who the fuck Jess Hilarious is. And she's murdering it, you know? So it's all about like I don't think D-Ray is watching Gutfeld, you know, lot of times it's like, but I'm sure people don't know how successful Jamie Lissau is right now, who's fucking killing it.
like all over sold out. So it's become so such a, everybody has their own niche, but people don't realize how successful other people are unless they're kind of, you know, they get to see their bubble a little bit. Anyway, back to fighting. Have you guys seen Colby Covington and the Pedophile?
No, sounds fun. Sounds like a great TV series.
So I guess there's this there's a rapper, Lil Pump. You know who that Lil Pump is?
Yeah.
He goes, he had that song Gucci Gang, and he's like a huge Trump supporter. Like, I mean, he like spoke at like Trump meetings. I think he got a Trump tattoo. So him, there's a guy named Vitaly, and like they have so they have these things now where they go around catching pedophiles. It's almost like to catch a predator, but they're doing it themselves. And somehow Colby Covington is now involved in this.
They do it. And I was like,
Well, some people say it's staged. I wish McCorkle was here because I would love to get him. He's supposed to be here, or Don Fry, but I don't even realize what's going on. Jason, will you explain to me what is happening right here?
There's like a new thing of rage based content.
Holy
where
fuck.
They like
so just, okay. Yeah. So this dude, I guess, is playing the pedophile. I'm not. This dude's the pedophile. Black guy is the guy on a date with this guy, who's in his underwear.
Like a teenage boy. It's like a 19-year-old dude pretending to be. So basically, what we're seeing is the legal kind of homoerotic pornography. You know, like that's what we're watching right now. I cannot believe. This is the new high for MMA Roasted, where we're going to go. Is Colby Covington acting like he's 15?
Okay, so they come in, and the guy just starts screaming, right? So, which doesn't seem like, is that what happens? Like, all right.
It's the fucking camera.
So what are we watching?
Here's Lil Pump. I guess this is Vitaly. And then Colby's coming in.
You pissed yourself. Yo, chat. Yo, I need the light closer. Can you put on?
And Colby's in like a 3-piece.
You peed yourself? You fucking peed yourself. You're still peeing. He's peeing. Yo, look, guys, look at behind. God. Holy fucking shit. Damn, how much are you paying for this to pee like this? Don't come in. Are you crying?
Low common denominator.
What happened, brother?
Is this?
Yo, sit. Yo. What's happening? I mean, bro.
So there's Colby. You can tell Colby's a little uncomfortable. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. Get into this because they asked me to be part of it. I was like, what? Why do I want to hang out with pedophiles? No, like, I don't. I like, oh, what? So, what? You want me to beat their ass? I'm gonna go to prison again. Like,
yeah,
like, it's such a weird game that they're playing. Oh, so you want me to chase these guys down for clout? But it's like embarrassing, like, for everyone involved. Let the cops take care of those guys, those guys shouldn't be on TV. Those guys should just be busted and go to jail. Like that, you know, keep them out of society. Not like what? Clout chase and what? Have what kind of sponsors am I gonna get? You know, put your product next to, hey, Starbucks sponsored this pedophile show. Like, come on, bro. This is a nightmare.
This is a nightmare. This is when I was in Saudi Arabia, like about 12 years ago, they stopped doing public executions. And what they would do is tie somebody to a Jeep, and then they'd tie somebody to a Jeep, the other to like a something, and then they would just drive the Jeep, and that's how they would kill people. And I was like, well, is it sponsored by Buick? Like, I mean, this is
by Jeep Wrangler.
But yeah, I mean, like, who's making money on this? Like, I mean, the money that from these views should be going.
So Vitaly, he has some kind of kick stream or whatever, and he does these weird I don't know. It's a thing. I get it. I'm sure it's very entertaining for some people. And I understand the appeal of it. But to me, it's just like, oh, it's just shameful. Like, you know, one of those
people are sick. They should be in jail. Pedophilia is the absolute worst, right? Okay, we're all in agreement with that.
Yes.
Having Little Pump, Colby Covington, Vitaly, and people going around as Dog the Bounty Hunter, pedophile hunters, it does seem a little fuck. It just, the whole thing just seems odd. It does.
Well, do you know what? You guys can look this up, but the Catch the Predator, the rate at which people actually were convicted and went to prison was like 1%. Yeah. Almost nobody actually went to prison from that show.
Because it's kind of like coercion. Like, okay, look, lonely gay dude is on the internet. Somebody in his inbox is like, hey, what's up? I'm a 14-year-old boy. Come fuck me. Well, what the hell? Like the guy is just like a redact and like goes over there and like, you know, it's like catching mentally ill or like developmentally disabled people that are like finally have some attention and they're so happy and they just like what's the legal term for it when the cops like coerce you into something. I don't know.
Entrapment.
Like a weird entrapment thing where they like beg the guy to come over because we're not seeing those chat logs. It's pretty easy to get a dude who never gets any sex to like be convinced that, oh, wow, I'm going to get, you know.
It's all bad. Look, it's the whole thing is bad. I just don't think Colby needs to associate with this shit. Like I just.
Yeah, of course not.
You know, Colby.
No, I don't. Involved with this Vitaly guy. Oh my god. Guy's such
a the whole thing is fucking crazy. And did you see the Sean Strickland Tiki thing?
Yeah. No. Yes.
Okay. So I knew all the good shit.
All right. So I knew Tiki when he was Tiki Goshen was a fighter at one point and he was dating Ariane. I think that was like his biggest accomplishment because you remember he was like dating Ariane and people were like, how the fuck did he get Ariane? This is like, anyway, so he became a manager, a very successful manager. And he works with the UFC and I've heard nothing but good things about him. I don't know anything about him, to be honest. Mayhem probably met him a bunch of times, right? You know, Tiki.
I've known him for years. I was on the same team with him. I know this guy. Yeah.
So Sean Strickland makes a video which is basically saying that Tiki had an underage.
No, he had a tweet first. Like, get the story straight.
All right, tell me the whole story because I'm a little. Maybe you can explain it better.
Yeah, I'll explain it. He had a tweet first that said something about Tiki doing something with like grooming like an underage girl, whatever. I was like, oh, what the hell? Apparently, after that tweet went out, some, you know, backroom conversations happened, and somebody told Strickland that he shouldn't say that because Tiki's going to sue him. Now, Strickland took that as, oh, fuck that. You know, Strickland's not the guy to back down from a confrontation. And he doubled down on it, talked to the girl that allegedly this all happened to.
Dad.
Hey, if we go to court, we're going to crowdfund this. I'll, you know, and everything will have to be exposed. So he called the bluff of Tiki's people trying to say that they're going to sue him, you know? And look, I never seen Tiki mess with no underage girl, none, so I can't really speak to that part. But it is interesting how the power dynamic works when you have a lot of power in the UFC that no news media reports on any of that. It was very interesting.
Talked to her dad, too, right? Didn't he talk to her dad also? And her dad said, how did you know? I mean, this is according to Sean.
Oh, God.
Now he's going to GoFundMe for his lawyer fee. And he's
Jesus.
Like tripling down, Sean. A lot of people. And then Aljamain Sterling, I guess, was managed by Tiki or something. He said, everyone's hitting up by my manager. I don't know what's going on. I had nothing to do with this, which made it worse. You know, like because that gave credibility to it. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I mean,
The best case scenario is for Tiki is that the guy's just smearing him, you know, and the worst case is, oh man, like something happened and like, oh damn, Vitaly's going to show up to the gym, right? Like a weird, you know, I don't know. It's a strange life that's got that was a really unexpected twist of events, because, you know, Tiki's in deep with those guys, real close with Dana. It's like a very
I'm saying that's not what UFC needs right now. Like I'm agreeing with you. Like they don't want any of this Dana's probably like, get this, like, make this go away. Who knows? So also, you guys see the Craig Jones thing?
But wait, what happened? Wait, go back to, what did Strickland do? I missed the story. So Strickland,
he basically just said exactly what he said. He said, there's a manager. He didn't name his name, but everyone knew who it was. He alluded to it. He did this with this girl. I have the girl. I tweeted about it. If he sues me, who wants to be part of my GoFundMe? Of course, all Strickland's fans are like, I'll put money into your GoFundMe. And, you know, and now he looks like he's the, you know, basically the fighter of the victim. You know, he's standing up for the victim, which is what he's doing. Now, at the same time, like, you know, vigilante justice, like, I hope that whoever that happened to went to the police or went to the, you know, what. Because I don't want everyone now going to Sean Strickland.
Like, Sean Strickland, Vitaly shit correctly, huh?
Right. I mean, you know, I mean, that's that isn't that kind of like how sometimes things go awry is people go right to Instagram or TikTok or Twitter and not to the authorities. And then all of a sudden everyone just.
Yeah, like the new way. It's not like Strickland has like a perfect track record of being correct about things all the time. So it's kind of weird for him to go and, you know, just call out somebody with, I don't know. I don't know what evidence there is. Either way, it's pretty bad to get called out.
On the other hand, there are plenty of people, which I'm sure you guys, Bill and Jason, I know plenty of girls. I know plenty of people that have gotten should have happened to them. And they went to the authorities and they're like, sorry, nothing we can do, or we'll file this.
I can't tell you how many women, I know dozens of women that shit's happened to.
Or they
sometimes they dated the guy for a bit, and then the guy got mad and raped them. And then they go, well, you were dating him.
Right.
Oh, wow. You dated him before. You were friends with him. Like, you know, it's that whole he said, she said shit. I'll tell you something real quick. Funny. Did you see that movie about the stand-up comic who's getting stalked? It's called Reindeer. So that's a true story, right? He got a gay man, roofied him, and then raped him. And apparently everybody knows who this man is. He's a British director, but he won't say it. But so there's all these Reddit threads about it. And he says, I can't go to the authorities about it because ultimately I'll just say this happened. The guy will say it didn't happen and there's no proof.
Right. So
unless you get kit right away. Yeah.
Look, somebody drove into my house, literally drove my house, got out of the car, ran away. And because I couldn't pick the guy out at a lineup, which had a picture of 9 people, nothing they can do, right? But I'm like, I found the guy in 3 seconds. So I'm saying a lot of times going to the authorities when shit happens to you is pointless. It's a waste of time. They don't do anything. In those situations, it's great to have a guy like Sean Strickland do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, however, there are other times where like that baseball player, the guy in the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. Good
girl
God.
Says, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that. And then it came out, he got cut from the Dodgers. His whole life got ruined. It turned out that she just fucked his whole life up. So, I mean, look, I guess there's no perfect solution to this. And there's no, it's not so black and white.
But for every one of those cases, there's 10 where the women are actually assaulted or raped. You know what I mean?
Tell that to the one person it happened to. You know,
what about Alex Pereira? Like, we saw this whole weird thing that got squished down where the crazy this lady seemed pretty wigged out, but she seemed pretty convinced that something bad happened to her. So it was like a whole campaign against her, but who knows what? It's a really blurry line. You know what I mean?
By the way, Nick Diaz now has OnlyFans.
What the hell?
I almost want to join it to go, what the fuck is Nick Diaz going to do?
You want to see that Stockton slap that ass?
is he? Like, if I could just picture him with nunchucks all day. And, like, that would be the greatest thing ever. Like you know.
Made out of dildos? Like, what's going on?
All right. So, by the way, did you guys see the Craig Jones thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was staged. Him and
Jones sexually assault Gabby Garcia?
That was that stage.
But they said the fight's off. They're supposed to grapple, and now it's off, they're saying.
No, it's on.
On.
It's back on?
It's back on.
Manipulating us. I really like it. I really appreciate that they're trolling us as fans.
Now, would you have sex, Bill, with Gabby Garcia?
I mean, I she might break my dick off, so I don't know. It's kind of scary. When you're that strong, imagine how strong you can Kegel. So I kind of want to, but I'm also terrified.
Jason, I feel like you would.
You would suck your prostate out through your... You know what I'm saying? Guys, you got it. That lady is, she's an absolute unit. Oh, my goodness.
She was on Tinder or something for a while. I think she has an OnlyFans, too.
Oh, God.
I feel like she would use you as a tampon. Like, she would use one of us as a... Like, she could just douche with us afterwards. Like, she would... She could, like, literally... I don't know. I think that there's a part of me that, if I wasn't married, just the curiosity factor of what goes in. At the same time, she might be very gentle and just lay there and be like, oh, you know.
I think she'll choke you unconscious from the guillotine position. Full guard. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll be, like, struggling for air as you're
pumping. What if you did it, Adam, and it was the best sex you ever had? You're like, fuck, I got to start dating Gabby Garcia now.
Fuck it, dude. I mean, if it was the best sex I've ever had, I would deal with it. Really? It might be the best sex you ever had because you might have to earn it. You know, it's a lot of times like those girls that like are super hot just lay there and think they did you a favor.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's the ones that are like you know how like you ever...
I got a lot to prove.
Or you bang a girl out of your league and you're like, man, I got to get a call back for this. Like you're basically like, you're fucking her for the next three times. You're not even fucking her for the time you're in there. You're like, I want to get invited back to this pussy. So you're giving her like the three, the four, the five, you know, the five times sex in a night, you know, so that kind of thing.
Jesus, Adam, look at you, you young buck. I don't do that shit anymore.
No, neither. I'm married. Are you kidding? Like, I'm like fucking halfway through. I'm done. I'm sleeping. During the set.
He's gotta make American Idol with his dick for his life. He's got to give a golden buzzer.
Oh, that's good.
That callback.
Did you guys see Kennedy Blades, the wrestler in the Olympics that threw that amazing launch?
No.
She's getting all kinds of WWE. She knocked the girl out. The girl had to go out a stretcher. It was such a good throw. Shit. They won't even show anymore. Like, you can't even find the throw anymore. They actually take it down. Hold on. Let me see if I can have it.
Really? Why, it was illegal?
No, it was perfectly legal. I'm pretty sure that, like, here, let me see if I can find it right here. Look at this launch right here.
Oh, wow.
This is in the Olympics.
Jeez.
Oh my God!
Beautiful.
Why did they show it? Did the other girl die?
She's carried out in a stretcher right there. Bang.
Oh yeah, that'll paralyze you. Yeah, that's a suplex, right?
Yeah, is that nice? That's nicer than the Randleman one against Fedor.
Yeah, I know. Better than Fedor. Yeah, that was better than versus Fedor. Yeah.
I mean, that girl's not Fedor, but still, the other girl. I mean,
that girl. Big wrestler, so to catch her like that is pretty wild, man. That's awesome.
I didn't realize you could do a suplex in like wrestling.
You can, you can. I think, I mean, they're trying to make some of the rules a little bit different. Like, if someone stands up on you and you're on top, you used to be able to, you know, have one arm locked, pick up, and then kick the leg out and drop them on a shoulder. But now you have to drop them on the arm that's free. Which sucks, you know, to send the guy back down. And and I used to, one of my main moves was I would, you know, from top, get an arm bar, step over and figure four of the head into a pin, almost like you're doing a jiu-jitsu choke. You can't do that anymore in wrestling, which sucks. Like my go-to pin. So today, a good match, I can't wait, is going to be on YouTube. It's Pat Downey versus Luke Rockhold. Part of this Craig Jones.
Is that CGI? CGI?
No, that's part of the Craig Jones Invitational.
Yeah, CGI.
Yeah. CGI. Yeah.
And it's for $1 million if they have to win and win and win.
I love it. You know, they're doing it just to take down ADCC and to fuck with Gordon Ryan.
Oh, really? Why? Craig Jones doesn't like Gordon Ryan?
Well, they used to be really good friends. I mean, Craig Jones moved to New York to train with Gordon and John Donaher. And then the feeling, like, you know, the whole thing with New Wave and B-Team. Like, no. they had a schism because Gordon and his brother stopped getting along. And all the, like, the cool, funny guys went with B-Team. And all the, like, super intense, autistic guys went with John Donaher and New Wave. But now they hate each other. And all they do on the internet is just troll. Gordon Ryan is trolled by Craig Jones, like, probably every day. And so he did CJ because, you know, he was like, fuck, ADC doesn't pay their competitors very well. And I think Craig Jones is great for jiu-jitsu. I mean, what do you think, Mayhem?
Yeah, bud. I you know, the Gordon Ryan has disappeared from my feed. Last I know, like, his juice ran out and he got super sick. And then now Craig Jones just took over the game. And, like, he's constantly in my feed. Even before I started clicking or follow on him, he was already on there. So he did something right with the algorithm. He's doing something right. He got Hinato on there, where he did like a funny bit. That, bro, they're doing solid bits. I'm trying, you know, I want to get involved, to be honest, because it's getting me jazzed up about jiu-jitsu again in a weird way. I think that's really good for the sport overall. The guy is smart. You can't take nothing away from him.
Gabby Garcia she has no chance of beating Craig Jones, right?
None at all. Not even close. Dude, Gabby Garcia, she's not even the top female anymore. She's also like almost 40 or something.
Yeah, but whatever. She's going to give us a good show. I hope the guy that she just get, like, I don't know, puts a stranglehold on him.
What if he comes?
I'm a Gabby.
I bet you he'll try to. Knowing Craig, he'll try to come.
He'll try to come. All right. So also, they have the rest of the MMA, the UFC fights coming up tomorrow from Australia. Good fight. Really, really good fight, obviously. So the rest of the fights this Saturday in Australia.
Start at a normal time or what?
Yeah, starts at a normal time. It's DDP against Israel Adesanya for the championship. Israel hasn't fought in a long time. I think he beats DDP. I do. I think he took Strickland really, really lightly. It was a late replacement, and he just got caught at the end of the round, and he got hurt. He didn't even know what hit him. And I think that was just a bad matchup for him. I think if they fight again, Israel wins. And I know everyone's really sold on DDP because he knocked out Robert Whittaker. But he also, like, almost lost to Derek Brunson. He was getting beat up by Darren Till for a while. Like, I know he couldn't breathe. He had some nose problems, this and that. But I think Israel's on a different level. I think he's going to show that again tomorrow night. What do you think, Mayhem?
But, I hate to agree with you because, I think that we have, like, the muscle head kind of guy that won the title barely, you know, arguably not. Like, I don't know. You know, that Strickland fight was a weird one. But that's Strickland's fault for not really, like, pushing the issue as he does. He kind of coasts a little bit. And I think that the striking will be a big problem. Like, it'll be a big difference in the level of striking, you know, because one guy has very simple striking that's used to set up takedowns and whatnot. And the other guy has a wide variety of strikes and different moves and, his footwork and head movement. And I don't know if DDP can, like, pull this out, I'll be amazed. I'll be like very, I'll have a brand new respect for him if he's developed more, but from what I've seen stylistically, it's a bad matchup for him.
And Israel also,
what makes you think, go ahead, sorry,
Israel was coming off of those Alex Pereira fights where I think that was such an emotional roller coaster where he beat him twice and he lost to him and then he beat him. And I just think that sometimes when you get off those huge fights, your next fight is always a come down, and that was the Strickland fight. And I think that he was like, And then also Israel, wasn't his, like, ex-girlfriend suing him for half his shit? But they were never together. He had some personal problems. All I know is that when I was sitting next to him at the award show, my daughter, first of all, I was like, hey, I'm Adam. He's like, I know, I met you last year, which was like super nice. When the fact that he did that, you know, when someone remembers you, when you assume they don't. But then my daughter, like, I was holding her to get up to leave, and she kicked his drink all over him. Like, he's wearing like a new tux, just alcohol all over him. And I'm like, and he just flew in like for the one event to pick up a bunch of awards. I go, man, I'm sorry. And he's like, kids, it's okay. And I go, you have any? He's like, not that I know of. Like, he was just a fucking cool guy. And I was like, you know what, man? Like, this, I like this guy a lot. So I'm rooting for him. Bill?
But you know, I think it's like one of those things where you have these athletes when they get, like, they tear an ACL or something, and they come back, like, but they're back, and you know they're never going to have the same confidence. They're never going to quite have the same ability. I feel like it, like, something broke in Israel, because he was going to be out for a long time. So I don't know where his mental state is. Who knows what his training regimen has been? He might not have the fire in the belly anymore. You know what I mean?
Telling me he had a major injury or what?
No, I think he had a bit of a mental exhaustion breakdown.
Yeah,
but he like took time off.
That's different than a physical injury, you know.
Like, yeah, but don't you think the air of invincibility around him that kind of kept him going is gone now?
No, I don't know because he lost before that too.
I don't think he ever had it. To me, I never saw an air of invincibility. I just saw a dude with technical ability, power, strength, and speed. Like a guy who like knew how to fight really well. To me, there was no air of invincibility. All that like kung fu and anime stuff, you know, that wasn't the nuts and bolts of what made him a great fighter and still makes him a great fighter. But this fight to me will answer the question, is he back in like a top form, or is he, you know, still out of it? Like you're saying, like maybe the tiger, you know, maybe the fire in the belly ain't there. I like how you said that, because maybe this will answer the question. This is a good challenge because on paper, I feel like, and Vegas agrees with me that he should win this fight, but you know, that's why we have the fight.
Right. Also, this guy Steve Erceg, who his last fight was really good. He fought the champ, and it was like, this guy looks like fucking the kid from Blue's Clues. It looks like the guy from The Office. And he's fighting Kai Kara-France. That should be a good fight. Dan Hooker is fighting Rosenstruik, the big boy against Tai Tuivasa. It's a good card. The whole thing is it's a good card.
Wait, is it fight night or pay per view?
Pay per view.
Okay.
And then what's his name is, Rosenstruik. He's the guy that looked like he almost knocked Overeem's head off. Remember, he like hit him with that uppercut. And then Herbert Burns, who's Gilbert Burns' brother. He's fighting Jack Jenkins. Casey O'Neill, who was undefeated, almost fought her mom one time. Her mom was a fighter, and her opponent bailed out. So they were going to have her versus her mom. They were talking about it. And so that's.
Wait, real quick about Herbert Burns.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what's up with their mama? Gave them the most scrub ass names so they'll be the toughest. Gilbert and Herbert. Like, oh my God. Nerdy ass names. I'm glad that they're great fighters.
I agree. And then next week at the Apex, Jared Cannonier, who goes by the Killer Gorilla. Dude's a monster against Cal Barajo. Angela Hill, who will fight anywhere, anytime, any place.
Yep.
Beautiful. I think her grandparents were abducted by aliens. Remember that story?
Oh yeah. So weird.
Yeah, her grandparents, like back in the day, got like taken in by aliens. Neil Magny, who's got to be like 97 years old. He's taking Michael Morales. And then after that, it's Gilbert Burns versus Sean Brady. Sean Brady has a win, by the way, over Craig Jones in jiu-jitsu.
Really?
Yeah.
How long ago?
Like two years ago.
Oh, really? Wow.
It was one of those like point jiu-jitsu. Like it was one of those like at the, you know, so he's fighting Gilbert Burns. That should be a good one. OSP versus Ryan Spann. That, I don't know how old that is. OSP is Vanessa Demopoulos. That's the girl that used to be a stripper. She wrote a book called The Stripper Bible, and she jumps in everyone's arms after she wins. She's like jumps in Rogan's arms. And Rogan's just like, I think she tried to do it to Bisbing too. And he was like, what are you doing? Then in the Sphere, September 14th, I heard the cheapest tickets are $3,000.
Whoa!
That's what I heard. Sean O'Malley versus Merab. If I'm paying $3,000, I'm going to be depressed the entire time. Like, I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah, like, of course.
Oh, my God. And then Shevchenko versus Grasso. Raul Rosas, that's the guy, Jason. They signed him when he was, like, 15 years old, the UFC. He was, like, young from Mexico. He's fighting, I don't know who that is. Diego Lopez is fighting Ortega in this card.
God damn, crazy. Yeah. Lopez still on the scene.
Yeah, there's Kayla Harrison's fighting at 307 against Caitlin Vieira. That's a good fight. Aljamain's fighting. I think this is just got announced. The main event is going to be Pereira against Khalil Rountree. So, and I think it's like for $50, you could win like 4,000 on Khalil Rountree, which I'm definitely going to bet if I go to Vegas on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, fuck yeah. And then, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Did you see
getting into next year right now. But, all right. So, wait, is he fighting again this weekend? Okay, okay.
Yes. Did you see that Uriah Hall thing where he got mad? So, I guess there's like a new Mumble interviewer. Do you guys see this?
No.
So, Uriah Hall recently fought, first of all, this is what What's Name is posting on this is what What's Name is posting on Zoom. How do I share this? All right. He's crazy, by the way. Paul Costa, whoever is running his Twitter, I don't know if it's him, Paulo Costa, but this is what he posts. Let me see. Here we go. So he posts this, and you're like, oh, this is nice, right? Can you guys see? It's a bunch of girls. They look like they're topless. And he writes, did you see? And then you click on it, and it's a guy's penis. How is this allowed, Jason?
Bro, it's X, bro. You're allowed to do whatever you want on X. I'm thinking about starting out OnlyFans on X. You know what I mean? I'm just gonna hang dong on X all the time and see it.
Dude, Phil Baroni one night at 3 a.m. posts a picture of him holding his penis and writes OnlyFans. And I'm like, dude, Phil Baroni. And I'm like, you're supposed to people to pay you first and then you show them your penis. You don't just post it and write OnlyFans. Okay, so this guy, so this is pretty funny. This is the Gabby Garcia when he goes to kiss. He goes to kiss her. All right, so Uriah Hall, right? Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
So he's getting interviewed. I think this was the Jake Paul Mike Perry thing, right? This is at that fight.
What's that? When you got out of the fight, how would you say that guy sent him over?
One more time, bro.
Oh, like when out fight, like before, like when you had that Tampa, is there like much like when you do like fight outcome fight?
Bro, I can't hear what you're saying. I can't understand.
Oh, like the outcome of the fight. Would you say like much like get tomorrow and let's have
the outcome of the fight?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you fight? Do you train?
No, I don't.
Okay. If you start training, you won't ask these questions.
Okay.
Start training. Yeah.
What's it like, especially if you ever like show when you do like get Tampa?
What?
Do you ever like walk forward? Like you do when you like go to Tampa?
I'm not gonna do this anymore.
We're best with you. We're mumbling.
I can't understand you, bro.
Yeah, we're mumbling on purpose.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
So you did all this to mumble?
Yeah, just the best with you.
You did all this in fight mode knowing I could kill you right now. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Might be.
I know you Gen Z's don't really think.
Yeah.
But you need to stop, bro.
Okay. Good luck out there.
He handled that pretty well. I would have mumbled back at the guy. I would have mumbled back. I would have been like, I don't know. But by props, he handled it pretty well.
I mean, come on. It wasn't that funny of a prank, number one. The guy had a fight.
Trolling economy, okay? Everybody's after clout. That's just the way it is now. People are going to do strange stuff. I kind of like it. It's like becoming like avant-garde. Everything's performance art. I was years ahead of this, bro. You remember Eric?
I don't know if that was before his fight or after his fight. He's doing an interview with you. Uriah Hall has anxiety. He's got depression. He's overcome a lot of shit in his life. Leave the guy alone. Have some respect for the guy. Like, I understand, like, you want to, but why him? Why at a fight? Why Uriah Hall?
All the kids right now are trying to be YouTube stars with these different strategies. They have to make up new ones because, you know, that's how it is. Like, mumbling is the next thing, you know. I'm surprised he didn't jump out of a trash can with a Halloween mask and get knocked the fuck out. It's just how it is, man. You can act like an old man and be angry about it, but that's just the new way things are done, pal.
I get it. I just, at no point did I laugh. The only thing I thought was funny was when he goes, "You Gen Z fucking guys need to think about it." That was a funny part because that was the actual, because that was the only thing that was real about it. That was the truthful part. The comedy's in truth. And that was funny.
But I'm with you.
Leading up to it was like, you know, to me, the girl that has her like tits out and goes up to Don Fry and goes, "Let's see if you can make eye contact." That's a funnier bit to me than what that was, because at least her tits are out and I haven't seen it before. But just mumbling, I mean, even there's other ways you could have done it. Like if you went up there and started talking about Uriah Hall's fight and then talked about sort of crying because he had a fight in the third grade, he lost something, where it's just like the way that Ali G would do it was fucking hilarious. Sacha Baron Cohen, I still fucking cry when he asks, "What was it like to walk on the sun?" You know, with like the moon landing, and that was hilarious. That was genius, fucking genius. Man. Or when he asked the military guy.
The podcast where the terrible ways that comedy is going now, but it's not. You're like, you pick out one cherry picked example of the jankiest non-comedy, and then you get so angry about it. I love it, bro. I love it. That's why I love doing this show, is to see you just like,
this is my business, man. I'm in the making people laugh business, and that shit was fucking.
Cool guy again. Did this guy get a million views off that or something? No,
I'm sure he did. And just like the guy that asked fucking Nate Diaz, "What you gonna do when Mouse would all beast the fuck out of you?" I don't know, man. Like, there's a certain non-creativity behind it where I'm just like, it's lazy and it's pointless and it's disrespectful. And none of it, you know, if you're gonna disrespect the fighter, it's gotta be so fucking good where it's like, "Oh, shit, that was funny." Even the kid that interviewed you is hilarious. That kid that pretended he doesn't know anything, the kid with the accent. Like,
but Todd,
he's doing something way different. Way different. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. This is, I get it. Yeah.
You know,
the mumble thing, yeah. Pretty lame. I don't know why you're even giving airplay to that, but, you know, shout out to Uriah. That's like a good, he did good. He did fine. You have to, you know, he dealt with it the way he would deal with it, you know? Yeah. Different. It's a whole different world out there. But
Bill, where are you going with that hat?
What? I can't even see him. I didn't even put that on there.
He's wearing a American flag hat, cowboy hat.
Oh, now he's muted. And he's
I think he has an audition.
What, as a stripper in American Pie?
We can't hear you anymore. Thanks, Bill.
I can't hear you. Yeah, you're muted.
Ask to unmute.
Why are you in the back seat of your car?
I'm in Ohio. I'm at the Cincinnati Open tournament. And this is how I get on TV.
Jiu-Jitsu tournament?
No, it's a tennis tournament.
Oh, and you're the hell? And you're competing?
No, I'm there. My it sounds really stupid. My friend's dad is like a co-owner in it.
Oh, cool.
So you're the I'm weirdest just here watching the game.
You're so fucking weird, dude. I don't even know if you like tennis. I don't know why you're in Ohio. You're wearing an American flag hat. Everything is weird about you. Like, everything.
I love America. This is the home of J.D. Vance. What's wrong with that?
Wow.
Yeah, look out for the couches.
Yeah.
But the worst part is he fucked a lazy boy. Anyway. So.
Yeah. And you know what? It was made in Mexico. Taking the job.
Oh, God.
Too.
Hilarious. All right. Well, listen, what do you got coming up, Jason?
Fuck, I don't know. Nothing. I work at this warehouse job. I work at the gyms. Like, you know what I mean? I'm holding pads for people. I'm coaching fighters. Like, that's what I got going on. I'm going to get back into stand-up. That's what's happening right now. So,
you guys gotta,
by the way, there's a thread about you on the Underground. It says Mayhem 6.0.
6.0?
I think this is like iteration of you.
This is like 6.0. Oh,
yeah.
2.0.
I know. Oh, what? And the Underground is still a thing? I heard that they got bought and then doxed everybody.
I don't know. I know the comments. We have a couple fans on the a couple people that support the podcast in the comments section. So it's Mayhem 6.0, which I think is hilarious. That's pretty funny. Bill, what do you got?
I'm going to be watching the Cincinnati Open. There we go. And so check me out on ESPN in the crowd. No, I don't know. I just have my Wednesday show at the Laugh Factory. And yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
I'll be at the Hollywood Laugh Factory Monday, Yamashiro Tuesday, and on the Greg Gutfeld Friday.
Fox Rob,
nice.
So
I'm coming out.
You guys are the best. Take care.
Bye bye.